Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Suggest you shut up and show more football.
Come on, come on. Figure. We've done that thing. Can we not knock it?
I am flabbergasted. I wouldn't even let him on the bus after the match. I get a taxi back to Manchester.
Again, please don't call me arrogant because what I'm saying is true. I think I'm a special one.
When the seagulls follow the trawler, it's because they sink sardines. Will be thrown into the sea. Thank you.
I understand what I'm trying to get at. Yes, he was a great player. Yes, he was a wonderful leader. But he wasn't a magician.
Well, take him out, son. I mean that. Take him.
Alexa, connect me to Andy Gray.
No. I went to see if I could get an Alexa. But they'd sold out.
No, they hadn't. Funnily enough, you might just be able to hear in the background, mine is talking to me. And so
I can hear it. I thought somebody had gate crashes.
So we'd better explain. I hope you're up to speed and join us on a regular basis. Andy promised me 3 weeks ago he was going to buy Alexa. Hasn't done, yeah. Didn't do. Here we are now at some distance again, 3,500 miles apart.
Yeah.
Obviously, as everybody's aware now, Alexa, my end works, your end hasn't yet materialised. Anyway, my name's Richard Keys. Let's get the housekeeping done. Richard Keys. This is the Keys and Gray podcast. Thank you for joining us from wherever in the world it is you're listening. Now you've found us, tell your mates where we are. And I hope that not just something of a chuckle today, but some serious football talk along the way as well. Now, where are you? Why are you? How are you?
Me?
Yes.
Well, I am in the UK. As most people who listen to the podcast will know, I had a knee replacement done about 12 weeks ago, and it went extremely well. So just to finish it off, it's got a little bit stiff, Richard, so it has to be manipulated. So I've just nipped back in between the season finishing, basically, and the Euros, to have it manipulated so I can bend it a little bit more. And that's going to happen on June the 1st. And when that's done, I shall be back with you in Qatar, ready for the Euros.
Right. Well, let's get one or two things straight. You haven't nipped back. You've had to bounce via, where did you go? Via?
Frankfurt.
And you now hold up for 12 days. And I told you it was 12 days.
No, it's not. It's 10 whole days.
Yeah. 10 whole days. Plus the day you check in and the day you leave. Yeah. So it's 12 days. Yeah. And how is your latest lockdown experience?
Not the best, fella.
No,
I have to be honest.
Seriously, Andy, because others are being confronted by that. Look, you know my political leanings. You know my view on an awful lot of what has happened and the shambles that the Tory government have delivered us. So tell me what it is you are currently experiencing and what it is those who are travelling abroad shortly are going to end up having to endure.
Well, as someone who has had COVID, who probably has antibodies, who has been fully vaccinated and who has tested negative 3 times in the last week, what I've had to do when I got here, instead of flying direct from Doha, and I don't know why, I had to fly to Frankfurt, then get on another plane with 75 people I'd never seen before, and another plane, and fly into the UK where 70 of them disappeared into the ether.
Exactly.
I and five others ended up with a hotel. It is very much security driven. Every single emergency exit has a guard at it, a security guy at it. I open my door and the security guy at the end of the corridor jumps up as if no one can go. So I've got 10 days here. It's a very small room. If it's got to be done, it's got to be done. And
yeah, but
not
you
a
see, you know my feeling on it. We agree about many things. Politically, we're from different sides of the line. If this had happened when COVID was first spoken of in the UK, I don't think we'd have lost so many people. And I think that by now we'd have been a good deal further ahead than we are. That's my firm belief. For someone like yourself, Andy, double vaccinated, someone who has had COVID, to have to now, at your cost, £1,725 plus two COVID tests at £300 each. Yeah. That's £600 more.
I had to do that myself this morning.
Yeah,
I did
exactly.
My COVID test, yeah.
This is serious money, and he's getting away with murder, Boris, and literally murder. And I use that word advisedly. Anyway, we shouldn't probably be preaching on politics, should we? We should be talking about football. But I know you
get a bit fired up about
honestly, it's wrong. It's just totally wrong. And you flying from here, a country where I've been vaccinated for 3 months.
I know. I know it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Anyway,
it's very strange, put it that way. I mean, a year ago, when I came back from Qatar, a year ago, Richard, last summer, I quarantined at home quite comfortably. It was okay. And now, even though I'm vaccinated and I've had it and I've tested negative three times the last week, I've been railroaded into this hotel, and I'm stuck here for the next 8 days.
If you want me to head off on another rant, talk to me about amber list countries as well.
No. If you start that, I'm off.
I said this week, I'll repeat it now. The best headline I've seen all season long: Mirror Sport, back page Go Monday, ahead. Game set and match Becker. What a great headline! That's, of course, after the winner at West Brom for Liverpool from Alisson on the Sunday. And inside, the Mirror Monday excelled themselves to celebrate Leicester's Cup win. Fantastic Mr. Fox, which, of course, was a reference to Brendan Rodgers. Top marks to everybody at Mirror Sport. Now, how many times down the years have you called me a conspiracy theorist? Because I don't believe what people tell me.
Yeah, quite a lot, I think.
And how many times down the years have you ended up saying to me, do you know what, Keezy, you were right to question that?
Well, if I've called you a conspiracy theorist about 100 times, I would say it's 50-50. It's got to be 50-50.
I don't think it is. I think you're way off. I think it's maybe 90-10. Here's another example, okay?
No, you've been right more times than 10, Keezy. Don't do yourself down.
The Super League. I said
I knew you would mention that today. I've read the papers this morning and I thought, oh dear, here we go. First topic of conversation today.
I said
will
to
be
you,
Super League.
There are others. There are, to quote a now famous phrase that I used once as we left a previous employer, there are dark forces at work. I quote you today from a piece from the New York Post. And I want to take some time. I'm not going to read the whole article. I advise anyone that's interested in pursuing the truth, as I am and continue to do. I am obsessed with newspapers, as Andy knows.
You are. You sent me it this morning, this article.
Yes.
I did have a read.
So, tucked away in the pages and pages of financial and legal jargon that constitute the founding contract of the Super League, the failed project that last month briefly threatened the century-old structures and economics of European soccer, were references to one essential requirement. The condition was deemed so important that the organisers agreed that the breakaway plan could not succeed without satisfying it, and yet was so secret that it was given a code name even in contracts among the founders. Those documents, copies of which were reviewed by the New York Times, refer to the need for the Super League founders to strike an agreement with an entirely obliquely labelled W01, but easily identifiable as, Andrew...
FIFA.
Soccer's global governing body. That agreement, the document said, was an essential condition for the implementation of the SL project.
No. No, the head of FIFA said he was categorically against it.
Yes, he did.
Come on. He came out full support of everybody else. He was not getting his nod of approval No way.
Well, what actually you're right about was he did publicly state that he was against a closed shop of a Super League. And what we all missed was the fact that those that were pushing ahead with a Super League changed their plans to ensure it wasn't a closed shop, but there would be an invitation to five clubs on an annual basis. So that got around the minutiae of the wording from FIFA. I quote you the last two paragraphs in this article. The last three paragraphs. Today, only three teams, Perez's of Real Madrid, of course, Juve and Barcelona, remain as holdouts, refusing to sign a letter of apology demanded by UEFA as a condition of their reintegration into European soccer. I hate soccer. This is from America, football.
I know, obviously, yeah.
And if they don't sign, all three face significant penalties, including a potential ban from the Champions League. Infantino, meanwhile, faces pressures of his own, not to mention accusations of betrayal. The head of the Spanish league, Javier Tebas, who we've discussed often on this podcast,
yes,
openly called him one of the masterminds behind the breakaway league and said he had told Infantino as much when the men met briefly at the UEFA Congress. It's he who is behind the Super League, and I already told him in person, Tomas said this month. I've said it before, and I will say it again. Behind all of this is FIFA president Gianni Infantino.
Wow.
There ends the sermon.
How did you survive that then?
Well, the same as too many others, Andy, in these similar circumstances, smoke and mirrors, and there will be denials, of course, inevitably. JP Morgan, I said to you many times, were not the financiers of the Super League. The money was coming from elsewhere, from a Middle Eastern country that have money to burn in this respect. There was too much going on around and about it for us to be able to believe what we were served when the Super League reared its head. One of the spectacular failures. Although the three clubs that I've mentioned continue to believe that there is a formula that will see some kind of Super League going forward.
Yeah, so, that much is true. Yeah, absolutely. I know they do that, don't they?
Yeah.
Amazing.
And it'll be locked horns between Infantino and Čeferin, I think, going forward. But I just found that fascinating, that article. Doubtless it won't get picked up by the British press, but it has had some airing here on Keys and Gray, the podcast. So, have you enjoyed your last week, Andrew, in amongst all of the international travel that you've had to do?
It'd be fair to say I've had better weeks, Richard. It'd be fair to say that.
But, in fairness, your football and your football club have excelled themselves, haven't they?
Oh, yes, without a shadow of a doubt. It's been a quite magnificent season, without a doubt. Culminating beautifully at the end with remaining unbeaten all season.
What
wonderful!
And we're talking Rangers, for those who don't know. We're talking Rangers, Invincibles. We're talking Rangers, this group that stopped the 10, and 10 is the holy grail for both clubs in Glasgow.
Yes.
Both have been close and both have come up short. But what for Rangers fans, Andy, and the reason I'm on this subject is we're about to speak to someone who knows the football club inside out.
Yes.
For Rangers fans, what made this one particularly special?
Well, what made it particularly special, even though you continue to rib me about it, and you will get plenty stick off Rangers fans, so I'm going to tell you, it's not our first league title.
But they know I'm only joking.
I know they do.
Or at least
It was our 55th league title, which for Rangers fans makes us the most successful football club in the world with regards to league titles, national league titles. An amazing achievement. So not only did we stop Celtic winning 10 in a row, which would have been very hard to take, we achieved our own piece of history. So, and going invincible, I mean, it's just, listen, the season, I don't think if Steven Gerrard had written down his plans and his aims for the season, he would have even, in his wildest dreams, would have written down all that.
No. Well, few. Are able to. Few, I mean, it's other than Arsene Wenger, who actually motivated an invincible season out of his team and believed it was possible, I can't think of too many people that would be of that opinion. It's an extraordinary achievement at whatever level, in whatever league, to go a whole season unbeaten. And I speak as an independent, as you know. Mm-hmm. So I am also able to offer an opinion as to what happened to Rangers. A couple of things I would like to say. One, I'm not certain. In fact, I am. I don't think Ali McCoist has ever been given the credit that he deserves for keeping it together and delivering the initial baby steps that took Rangers almost from oblivion back to where they are now. I think his contribution, and I don't know why, it's not my club, there may be many good reasons why, Andy, I don't know why his contribution hasn't significantly been recognised.
Yeah.
For me, what happened to Rangers, I still struggle to come to terms with a number of allegations that led to a decision to relegate them from Scotland's top league to League Four. I know that Charles Green, and that name stirs a lot of anger amongst Rangers fans, but
yes, it does.
One thing Charles Green, I think, was right about, one thing, was that if he'd joined England's National League at the time of Rangers' greatest distress and worked the pyramid from that position, it would be fascinating now where Rangers might be. Fascinating.
Might well be in the Premier League.
Well, if I mean, they might have done it. Would have required a little bit of trickery regards the laws and regulations surrounding the Premier League of England and Wales. So,
yes.
But you know, he had a plan, Andy.
Yes, he did.
Wasn't madness. Anyway, Rangers have survived the turmoil and have returned to the top, and that's why I think this one must, for Rangers fans, taste. And I'm going to get battered by Celtic fans. I know that.
Let me state my
it's not my club. I just look at it as an independent. I've never known a punishment handed down in any court of law in any scenario in the world before a verdict. And that's what happened with Rangers. And from that point, they've clawed themselves back, as I said, almost from oblivion to a title that I think few would say, and obviously Celtic fans would argue, few would say they don't deserve, Andy. I think it's been a remarkable achievement.
Oh, no, they've deserved it. I mean, you only have to look at the stats, Richard. I mean, the other thing I forgot to mention is 102 points. I mean, quite staggering return for Rangers. It was magnificent. I mean, I don't know how they kept it going, I'm quite honest. I know there are people who don't know much about the Scottish League. We'll go, well, it's a much easier to do it in Scotland as in England.
It's
actually not, because you only need to be off once. You only need to be off colour once, and you lose a game. And before you know it, that's gone. And for Rangers to have the consistency over, what, the 38 games that they had in the league, to have bad days, and we did. We had some awful performances, not many, but one or two that could have cost us. But you win games other ways. You know, you win it by grit, by determination, by hunger, by determination not to lose a game. So there were lots of other things, by the coach making the right decision at the right time on a substitution that was so pivotal in certain games. So there's lots of things have to go right, and Arsene Wenger will tell you that. Plus, you need a bit of luck. No one's going to deny that along the way, when you amass 102 points in a league, that you've had a bit of luck along the way. Of course you have. And people would be foolish to deny that doesn't happen. But for the vast majority, I think Rangers have been terrific. They've been a joy to watch for the vast majority of the season. They've played really good football. Haven't depended on one person to get all their goals, although our captain Tavernier has done a pretty good job of rewriting record books for a fullback goal scoring. Yeah. I mean, that might take some beating, his total of goals this season. But we haven't depended on, like, Morelos for the whole season to get us all the goals. Goals have been spread around the team, and everyone's chipped in. The whole group has chipped in, and I'm sure Stephen would say the exact same about his backroom staff, Gary McAllister and others, that they've all played their part and get to where we are. And I just hope now there'll be much talk about Steven Gerrard and his future. I'm sure there will, Keezy, and whether Rangers can fulfil his ambitions. And I'm sure he has them.
Well, they can't.
I'm sure he has them.
Rangers can't.
Well, maybe our guests will, you know.
Well, Rangers can't. Let's be realistic about that. Rangers cannot fulfil Steven's ambitions. He has done a remarkable job. It's been a wonderful learning curve. But Steven will want to manage at the very highest level. Now, Rangers, is a massive football club. I get that, all over the world, but it cannot compete. And this is why I said, if Charles Green had taken it in the direction he wanted to, who knows? But Rangers can't compete beyond the group stage of the Champions League, nor Celtic. That's a fact. So you can't, you can't fulfil Stephen's ambition. He will want to manage a club to the ultimate achievement of winning a Champions League, which means at some point he moves on and life goes on after that.
I had an argument with a couple of pals of ours in Doha, a couple of Rangers fans, as you'll know who they are, and Blair and Ewan, and we were talking about this. They were saying, Ewan's a big, big Rangers fan, and he was so pleased about it all. And he said, yeah, well, Stephen, he'll be there for the whole road. And I said, I'm not so sure.
No, he won't.
I said, what can we offer him? What can we say? Well, we've got Champions League football, yes, but how far can we go? Can we win the Champions League? No. Is it in the same place?
Sorry,
when
I shouldn't laugh.
No, you shouldn't, but we can. Simple fact is, we can. You know, is there money for Stephen? You know, when Graham Souness went there, Richard, just shooting off at a tangent, basically, for a minute. When Graham went there, it was a different animal. It could buy the best players from wherever. It could pay the best players. And that's when we went really close, when Marseille, I think, beat us in the semi-final. And that was very, very close to Rangers being right at it. Now, Steven Gerrard's not in a position, and never will be at the moment, and I don't think we will be ever again, be in a position to tempt the best players in England and Europe to come to Glasgow and play. I just don't think we're in that.
Well, there's two things, Andy, that make that impossible. One, at the time you're talking about, let's not forget English clubs were banned from Europe.
Banned from Europe, exactly.
Therefore, the very best English players only could compete in Europe through Scottish football. And secondly, Marseille didn't beat you in a semi-final. Marseille cheated you in a semi-final.
Yeah, well,
and subsequently, that was proven to be the case, as we well know. Speak to Mark Hatley about that. So let's also call that one. But I also underline my credentials as an independent, because for 3 years I was a Celtic fan, as you well know. So
as far as we're concerned, you're still a Celtic fan, because you just can't switch allegiance whenever you like it. You nailed your colours to the mast when Wee Gordon was manager of Celtic, and I refused to have you back in the blue of it.
Well, as I said, I crossed the divide. I am unique in that respect. And I'll tell you what's lovely. And this is what I don't think anybody that goes to the football grounds on a Saturday to watch Rangers and Celtic play understands, is the camaraderie that exists between the players that represent both clubs. And I've seen it firsthand here, and I'm not suggesting for a minute that you know, it's not important, but John Collins, Lambert, Wee Gordon, you know, these people, like yourself on the other side, Mark Hatley, Koister, who's been out here, it matters. It matters deeply.
You better believe it.
But there's also a respect for the individual professional that they're looking into the eyes of, isn't there? And that's a wonderful thing. And I mean that. It's a wonderful thing to witness, as I have done firsthand. And I think that, all right, go at it hammer and tongs when the old firm meet. But there's a whole host of different friendships on that same pitch, isn't there?
You better believe it. Yeah, you better believe it. There is. Yeah. Absolutely.
So we should introduce our guest, Andrew.
I'm
very much looking forward to speaking to him. I should at this point again state my case. I have, on the basis I wouldn't mention 1987. He said he would talk to us today. So I now have to abide by what it is that I've said.
Ah, but I never said I wouldn't mention 1987.
No, you didn't.
No.
And you know me well, there's always a way. So
there's always a way. There will be a way. Yeah.
Let's introduce our guest this week. The legendary Rangers captain. What was it? 7 out of 9 he won? Was he there?
No. Captained all 9.
Jeez.
All 9. He was captain for all 9 in a row, and won 18 trophies at Ibrox.
That's extraordinary. Richard Goff from Stateside. Richard, how are you?
Richard.
I'm well, Richard. I'm well.
Excellent.
What about Andy? Are you well for me as well?
I'm good. You were with it, I said. Richard was just doing the interview.
Are you sure?
Goffy, I just
don't allow that, Goffy.
I need to.
The sidekick. That's good.
Goffy, two things to explain. One, he and I are 3,500 miles apart again, yes, because he's back in the UK for manipulation on a knee replacement. So occasionally we may be blethering over the top of each other. That's the first thing to say.
Okay.
So secondly, he's already made one gross error introducing you as having won only 18 medals in Scotland. I think that that's incorrect. Would I be right?
Dundee United, I know.
You didn't know. You didn't know.
I did.
You're a liar. You had no. Goffy, put him straight.
Well, it is 18. 18 with Rangers, Richard, yes, and one with Dundee United.
19.
Which was the 38th anniversary about 6 days ago.
Was it really?
Of getting that first medal, yeah. May the 14th. Wow. May the 14th, 1983, Andy.
Wow. Well, you're just a baby, Goffy, weren't you?
May the 14th, 1983. Yeah, just turned 21. Not long, yeah. And I thought, oh, this is easy. This is going to happen like this all the time.
you were obviously working with wee Jim then, weren't you, Goffy? Aye.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. Fantastic. Yes. Fantastic brain. Fantastic tactical. Just couldn't handle. Just couldn't handle people. Just,
why didn't
you know,
he take? Why
handle.
Didn't he take Rangers, Goffy? Why do you think he never took Rangers? Just while we're at it. Sorry.
I just don't think he could have handled it, Andy. Really? You know. I mean, him and Doris, the great place in Broadway, stay up and done. I think it just would have been too much. Right. I really do, you know. And I think he was happy at Dundee United.
Yeah.
He had a good squad at that time. You know, played in Europe every year. Most of the time got to the quarterfinals in Europe with the squad that he had. And he was ahead of his time. Andy, just in a lot of the things that he did, you know, I look back now and I just think he's ahead of his time. I mean, you were one of the few, myself included, that kind of escaped from paradise, you know. You at a young age, myself, there wasn't many, you know, Kevin Gallagher, but I mean, the players that he kept there, you know, like, you know, I mean, David Neary could have played for anyone.
Anybody,
You know, anyone. And, you know, Paul Sturrock was a really fantastic player. Ralphie Milne was a real good player when he was a youngster up there. You know, some terrific players up there.
Just a couple of things, gentlemen.
But he kept them there. He kept them there on those 20-year contracts.
Yeah, no, he did.
20 years.
They had.
Just a couple of things. My career didn't go as I had planned for a number of different reasons. But one of the things that I am envious of, obviously, is of those of you who played. Now, you just said at 21, you won your first medal. Andy?
Yes?
At 21, what were you doing?
21, Richard. I was being voted the player of the year in England. Young player and player's player. So I think I might have been a wee bit ahead of Goffy then.
No medals, though. No medals, though.
He soon caught up with me.
Sorry, Goffy. I couldn't resist that.
No. Just setting him up. I mean, when I made my debut for the Scotland team, Richard, I was 20. Myself and Charlie Nicholas made our debut on the same night against Switzerland in March of 30th, 83. So we then went, we played England, Northern Ireland and Wales, you know, with the end of the season like it used to be back in the day.
The home internationals.
And I was introduced to Mr. Andy Gray during that day. I was just 21 and I had this great header against Wales And who knocked it in from about a yard? Took my goal away from me.
By the way, it would never gone in. If I hadn't been there, I would have gone in.
Why am I surprised
right
to hear this?
And Andy just helped it over the line with his knee or something.
Let me talk to you about it. You're a goal scorer, Richard. You know what it's about.
I understand, Andy. I know where you're coming from. Yes.
You know, somebody can do a lot of the work. Goffey was magnificent. Yeah. Great leap. Great header of the ball. Right? But had Mr. Gray not been a yard off the line poaching, as usual, the ball would never have crossed.
Two things, Andy, would say here. Two things. One, as we've said many times down the years, if centre-halves could play, they would be centre-forwards. That's the first thing. And I would also add, that I saw the very same thing happen at Old Trafford. Rushy, who spent years trying to score against Manchester United, he's watching a ball roll over the line scoreboard end when Craig Johnston nipped in and nicked his goal. So, these things happen, I'm afraid. Did you ever get to play against him, though, Goffey?
No, I don't think
so. Yes, I did, Andy. When I was at Tottenham, you were playing for
Everton.
No, it would have been Wolves, wouldn't it?
No.
No, would Everton. You were an old man by then. It would be Everton.
No, it wasn't Wolves.
Oh, it would have been Everton.
Was it West Brom?
West Brom, yes. Oh, even further down his career. Sorry,
86,
Richard, yes.
86-87. I don't think was it Everton?
No, it would have been Aston Villa, second time round.
Aston Villa, that's what it was. Aston Villa.
Because I'd left
played
Everton.
Aston Villa. And Mr. Gray, at that stage, was very nice to me before the game. How you going, Goffey? Great to see you. And as soon as the game started, he put one right on me, you know? Right, you know?
But I was getting, Goffey, you were Mabzi, better than me Mabzi, then.
Yeah. Mabzi, can you look after this fucking man? Yeah. I don't want to get another broken nose.
Goffey, you were younger, fitter, and stronger than me then. I was just about on my last legs.
I also know, Goffey.
I learned a lot from Divinus. I learned a lot from Keezy because before the ball came into Andy, he used to jump early.
Yes.
He used to jump really early.
Yes.
And it used to, as a centre back, it used to muck with your timing, you know, of the ball. Because when he jumped early, you had a stutter. So you weren't going for it as cleanly as you normally went for it. So you had a few wee secrets in there that used to upset you as a centre back, you know.
Well, when he was a baby, south, and Frank McClintock told me this story many years ago, playing for Queen's Park Rangers, him and David Webb, I think, this young cannonball unleashed himself between the two of them, and I think Frank eventually had to say to him, "Listen, son, if you keep doing that, you're not going to end this game in very good condition." fearless. Absolutely fearless,
always been fearless.
But how did you, as someone who enjoyed playing football as a centre back, how did you handle someone like him?
It was difficult, and there was a lot of players, you know, of that in that era, should I say, when I come down to England, or even in Scotland, not so much in Scotland, but in England, there was a lot, you know, I was coming into a very good Tottenham team at the time, and who we played football, but we had centre forwards in that era. Mm. Justin, you know, Fashanu. Mm. We had Fashanu, John Fashanu up front with Wimbledon. We had the boy I was terrified of, the boy Nick Harford.
No, you're not alone.
Because Gary Mabber said, "You got to watch him, Goffey." You know, I was a captain at Tottenham at that time, and we went into the referees' room. The two captains used to go into the referees' room before the game, and he would tell you what he expected and what he didn't expect. And Mick Harford was the captain of Luton at that time, so. I come into the dressing room and he's got a Vaseline across the top of the eyebrows. He's just in his underpants and he's coming and I'm thinking, we got in a boxing match here. Or he's just like, you know, and Madsy says, "Oh, just be careful of him, Goffey." I says, "Well, I said, hopefully you can challenge him most of the time, you know. We were trying to stay away from him the whole game, you know, like, you know, oh, it's unbelievable. But at that time, there was different different types of centre forwards, and you know, a lot more aerial play, you know, around about that time. So, yeah, but you had to be aggressive, Richard. You had to be aggressive back. I mean, I wasn't a centre back. I wasn't scared of anyone, you know. But if you told me who I wouldn't fancy playing against every week, it would be Mick Harford, you know.
Oh, Mick Harford would be up there, Goffey, yeah.
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 He was a studio guest once.
There was a few. You know, there's, I mean, I could go on with stories about Mick Harford, but I don't think I want to tell too many. But
I'll tell one, Goffey. He was a studio guest once at Luton for a cup tie. The night that John Hartson announced himself, Newcastle, I think, Andy, wasn't it?
That's it, Newcastle,
We always liked a chuckle in the studio because I was always of the opinion if we laugh our way onto air, you know, guys that are joining us who don't understand what it's like to be in a studio, lights, cameras, you're out of your own comfort zone. I always said, put me on a football pitch and I'd look a mug, to be honest. But bringing somebody into our environment, it's intimidating. So we'd always mess about and have a laugh. But when Mick Harford sat down at Luton, I looked into his eyes and I thought, I think this is the one night we're going to play this straight. I'm not going to say anything here that he might object to.
The story I got told was that, you know, obviously I'm playing with, but Gascoigne came up to our place at Rangers and he tells me a story when they're in the England team and Mick had played for England. He was in the England squad. He says, and Gascoigne is a Geordie and the two of them go out for a pint. I shouldn't have been out for a pint, just near to where they were staying. And Gascoigne said, he says, I'm having a pint, Goffey. He says, and Mick says to me, these two big bricklayers come in and they got the big hod jackets on and, you know, they came into the pub. And Mick looked over at them and he said to Gascoigne, tell that boy over there not to keep looking at me. Gascoigne went, he's not looking at you, Mick, you know? He went, oh, he is. He says, so Gascoigne went up and said to the two boys, look, my friend's a bit mad. Just don't look at him, you know? And the boys went, we're not looking at him. What's his problem anyway? All right. That was it. And Mick just loved it. He beat the two boys up or something. And that was it. You know, Gascoigne, he said he was under the table. Gascoigne was under the table. He said he just loved the fight, you know? So I was like, oh. So I got chills. I got chills going up my back, you know? So Gascoigne said he was it. When Gascoigne said he's a maniac, then.
Oh, yes.
Goffey, I'm going quiet here for a couple of minutes. I've been a bit selfish in taking too much of your time. I want you two to talk about Rangers, and I want to enjoy listening to it.
Right. Okay.
Okay, talk to me about this season, Goffey. What were your general impressions of this season? Did you expect the kind of season we had? I know we all wanted to win it, to stop 10 in a row and win 55, but you couldn't surely have expected the season we got.
No Rangers supporter in their right mind, Andy, thought we would win the season. You know, we hoped, of course, we had hope. Mm-hmm. But after what happened last year, you know, when we're getting a wee bit closer, but we failed, you know, and Celtic were massive favourites coming into this season. And, you know, I take my hat off to Steven Gerrard. And the players. I mean, to go through a season undefeated, Andy, that's not been done since, I don't know, 1890 or something, 1899, I read the other day. You know, so I take my hat off to them for that, you know. And I do think, there was a mention of it last night on the one of the games I was watching last night, one of the English games, that the way Steven Gerrard's got the team playing in a very patient manner, keeping the ball, and the ball can be on the right wing and all of a sudden it can land back with McGregor, you know, the possession of the ball. I think that's helped us, that there's been no one in the stadium, because you know as well as I do, 55,000 people at Ibrox, and you get the ball in the right wing and you don't put it in the box for your two strikers, there would be horrific, there would be chaos going on, you know what I mean? So I think that's helped in a lot of ways that the you know, there hasn't been a crowd there, if I can say that, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah,
you know, I just, that's my gut feeling. Uh-huh. That people would try things and do things that they wouldn't do with 55,000 people there. Mm. That's what I'm trying to say, you know. I think that's helped, that helped us a lot this season away from home as well, and also was had the opposite effect on Celtic.
Yes,
you know? I think that, you know, that's happened. So things fell into place for us, but don't take anything away from the team.
Yeah.
The team have been sensational, you know, because there was huge pressure. I find this title this season and the one when I was a captain, when we were going for 9 in a row, that was my most pressurized season
I've
ever had in football. Yeah, it was horrendous. It was, you know, people said, oh, you were crying when you got the trophy. I said, that was relief. It wasn't tears of joy. That was tears of relief that we actually got there. Because I don't think anyone thought we would manage to get 9 championships.
I said I'd go quiet. I can't, because I have to, for those who perhaps don't know, you were matching what Celtic had previously done, which was 9 in a row, wasn't it? So you had to get the 9th. I mean, that was just a given.
Yes.
You couldn't fall short. I said to Andy Richard before you joined us that both clubs have 10. I don't mind that. You know, I think that's probably fair.
Have 9, Richard. 9.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Neither has gone to 10, Andy. That's what I'm saying.
So,
you know, I'm okay with that. I think that should always continue to be the case. But of that 9, Richard, what? Okay, that was the relief of getting over the line, but... you mentioned him. No, we can't have a conversation without Gazza. What did he contribute to those years?
Well, he came in, I think, the last 3. You know, first of all, when we kicked off, Richard, you know, Andy was part of that as well.
Yes,
don't forget
of course.
That. You know, we had Terry Butcher, we had Chris Woods, we had Ray Wilkins, we had Trevor Francis, has gone at the 6 of the England players playing in our team when we kicked off on that, you know, in 88, 89, 90. So we had 6 of the English team actually playing for Glasgow Rangers, if you think of it like that. So that's how strong our squad was then. And then it went on. By the time we got to about 6 or 7, Richard, we started thinking, we've got a chance here, by the way. If we can hold our nerve, we've got a chance to match, because no one thought we would match Celtic's, you know Billy McNeil's team, mm-hmm. you know, which was a fantastic team, which won the European Cup back in the day, and they dominated Scottish football. No one thought that would happen again, but we put ourselves in a position to do it, and we managed to get there. Gascoigne coming just gave us a wee edge. Gascoigne and Laudrup. We got special players, you know, like, you know, the last 3 or 4 titles, and it just helped us over the line. I mean, Gascoigne was a player that could win games by himself. You know, he's one of those few players that could do that. You know, and what made him such a great fit for our dressing room at the time? We had a fantastic dressing room, which was part of the reason why we managed to win as many trophies as we did. But he fitted in well because he wanted to work hard. He was a worker. He wanted a tackle. And I told him, you know, I told him, man, Laudrup, don't you two tackle anyone. We'll get you the ball. We've got McCall. We've got Ferguson.
Oh, that's fair.
We've got myself.
Don't get injured.
We'll get you the ball. Don't get injured. Don't get injured, because the boys are trying to hurt you up there, you know. Mm. So, we'll, you know, just you get yourself spare. As soon as we get it, we'll try and find you. Then you can do your damage, you know. And Gascoigne did that. On numerous occasions. I mean,
who was funnier, Gazza or Coisty?
Who was what?
Who was the funniest in the dressing room, Gazza or Coisty?
Well, Gazza was mad funny. Coisty was funny. funny. Gascoigne was mad funny, you know. I mean, but yeah, I always tell people the story. I've never seen a more generous person in my life than Paul Gascoigne. You know, I've gone down streets with him in Glasgow, and there'll be a tramp in the street, and I'll go in and get my shrapnel out of my pocket and give him you know, a few pound coins or whatever is in my pocket.
Chris, you've changed.
I know, exactly. And Gascoigne would go in his pocket and give him, you know, £500, whatever he had on him, he would just give it to him. And I'm like, Paul, you can't do that, you know. And he said, Coffee, he needs it more than I do.
See, I think that's wonderful. I was like, honestly, you know, I think that's wonderful.
So, you know, I was wondering, I mean, unbelievable. Yeah. And I tell people that story, you know, and I've seen it with my own eyes. I wouldn't believe it unless I'd seen it. Mm. And I've seen that, you know. And he's just he was great for the dressing room. He was really good, you know. So
we're also judgmental as well, Richard.
I firmly believe when we were going for the 10, I'd gone away, Richard. I'd left to go to America because I thought I was like you a wee bit. 9-9, I'm quite happy with that.
Yeah, I'm
delighted with that. Then I came back for 10. 10 was easy. The 10, going for the 10th was easy because I came back because we'd matched the 9. So for the 10, and we should have got the 10. It was just our own fault. We just never got over the line at the end. We dropped some really stupid points. But Gascoigne left to go to Middlesbrough a month before the end of that season.
Oh, dear.
We got like £4 million for him. And I think he was struggling at the time. And I think, you know, the chairman and Walter at that time just said, you know, we're not going to get this money again, £4 million for him, you know. But I think he could have helped us a wee bit along the way. You know, those games that you had to win, the wee special moments that you could always produce. Maybe he couldn't have, but it was always going to be that.
Coffee, let me ask you. Keezy and I were talking about it before we got you on here, but bringing it up today, bringing it round to Steven Gerrard now, and we were talking about can we keep Steven Gerrard? Can we give him the tools? Can we fulfil his ambitions as a coach? What do you think?
I don't think so, Andy, to be honest.
Well, we said that.
You know, I think it's a stepping stone for him. If you can go, to be fair, any of the Glasgow clubs and do well, you know, it's the pressure in those two clubs is incredible, that you've got to win every game. And managing the two clubs would be very difficult as well, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. So there'll be clubs looking at him, and I think not only English clubs have been looking at Steven Gerrard now, because he's did very well in Europe. He's punched well above his weight in Europe. So I think he's had 3 years at Rangers now. What a great learning curve. What a great learning curve for him as a person. I'm in regular touch with him. I send him a little message before games. And he's so professional, Andy. He just comes back to me all the time. Thank you very much, Richard. Thank you very much. We really appreciate you. He's just a class act.
Yeah, yes.
You know, I tell people that he's anytime I'm over in Glasgow, well, I normally go as an ambassador of the football club. I go back there normally 5 times a year. This year's been hard, he's great. Anytime he says, Coffee, you just come up to the training ground. You come, just come watch a training. Come do what you want. You know, he's different class. So I think he'll be getting looked at by the big Premier, the big Premier clubs. And he's done well. And if you can do well at Glasgow Rangers, you can do well at any club.
Well, I think Brendan Rodgers is an example, is he, Coffee?
You can't. Sorry, Andy. I mean, I've kind of got my eye on the clock here. So,
a one word
answer is probably yes. But listen, two things. One, I just wanted to say about Gazza. We're all so judgmental. Yeah. The fella's not a drunk. Yeah. He has an illness, and unfortunately, he's been haunted by that illness. But I would also like to add, one of the greatest talents I've ever seen on a football pitch, and as a person, unique. That's what I would say about Paul Gascoigne.
Yeah, absolutely.
So in closing, Richard, Andy and I are not necessarily football quiz fans, but I want you to help me here with this one. I want to ask Andy a couple of questions.
So see
how far I get with this, Andy. What do these players have in common?
Okay.
Ray Clements.
Right.
Chris Hughton. Mitchell Thomas. Stephen Hodge.
Yeah.
Richard Goff.
All played for Tottenham.
Gary Mabbott.
Uh-huh.
Clive Allen.
Right.
I know where he's going with this one.
I've got to keep it. They all played in a losing FA Cup final.
They did, Andrew. Yes, you're right. Paul Allen, Chris Waddle, Glenn Hoddle, Ozzy Ardiles.
Does that count as another medal for me?
You tell me, do you count losers' medals? I don't know.
No. I don't.
No. I think you know what, Rich. I think I had about 42 medals if I counted losers' medals. Because I always tell people that, Richard, you know, 19 winners, but I got quite a few losers' ones as well. Don't worry about that.
Indulge me.
You're the Jack Nicklaus of football. He had 18 majors in 18 seconds.
Yes.
Indulge me, Richard. I promised I wouldn't mention it, you know? And I haven't. So I've gone about it a different way.
Here's a quick one for you.
Go on.
A quick one for you. Keith Houchin.
Yes.
I played against Keith Houchin 3 times for Coventry. First, the 4 times for Coventry. 2 in my 86-87 and the 1 in the cup final. And then he played for Hibs a couple of times, about 2 or 3 times for Hibs. Keith Houchin must have played 6 games against me. He must have scored 5, at least 5 in 5 of those occasions. So he was my, and he's a lovely guy. He wasn't the kind of Mick Harford of as a centre forward. No, he was a big, tall boy. But he was a nice player, a good touch, and he was good enough in there. And but nothing you would say sensational about him.
No.
He must have loved playing against me because he scored every time he played against me. It was just, you know, like if you got a bogeyman, he was my bogeyman. You know.
You must have had a great view of the equaliser, but we haven't got time. We haven't really got time now. Yeah. But.
No.
1987, for those who don't know what we're talking about. Richard, thank you so much for spending time with us. It's been absolutely brilliant.
Nope.
I hope we can do it again going forward. Terrific. I say it every week, Andy. Thank you again, Richard Goff. If you want to follow us,
What do you mean, if you want to?
Well, as I said that, I paused because I thought to myself, what am I saying?
Yes, let me
rephrase that. If you're a new listener, do subscribe, share, and leave a review, please. More stars, the better. We're very happy about that. We are available on all platforms. You can also ask your smart speaker to find us as well, which is where the conversation about Alexa started a couple of weeks ago. You just say,
hold on. Alexa!
No. If I say this too loudly, she will. Alexa, play Keys and Gray on the podcast, and she will oblige. And you can also follow us on Twitter and Insta at Keys and Gray Pod. And that's it for another week. There you go. She's off.
There you go. She's off.
If next week, Andy, everything comes together as I'm hoping, we should be talking to a Manchester City legend who became a legend at Manchester City before Manchester City had legends. City fans will love it.
Okay, I've got an idea.
Good luck with the op this week. We'll talk next Friday.
Okay then, pal. Talk to you later. Yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.